Welcome back, Truth Seekers, to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, says me, in for Mike tonight, who's having a long weekend. Oh, good Friday to you, and happy Passover out there. We are in tonight. Mike will be back Monday. We are doing some investigation tonight. Because, well, we got a couple of things. Okay, let me give you some business here. We are on the Twitters at the Brad Blog, if you want to reach me. And we're going to open up the lines in the next hour to all of you folks at 877-520-1150. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we're going to have Gabriel Ray Goodlatte of The Color of Change on their campaign against the American Legislative Exchange Council. Which is going after your voting rights, it's going after your union rights, it's pushing these horrible stand-your-ground laws around the country, which are really right-to-kill laws, as I see them, shoot-first laws, as I think some folks call it. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that campaign, which is going well. A lot of corporate sponsors are dropping out of their support for this pretty horrible group, American Legislative Exchange Council, in my opinion. Maybe you feel different. We'll find out. Also, we're going to get a report from Marco Paez, who's been down at Santa Monica College, finding out why the hell security guards are pepper-spraying students who are trying to ask their own board of trustees why tuition is going up 400%. And it's, just another chapter in this post 9/11 amped up, militarized police force on steroids situation that we're seeing across the country. And the folks on the right don't seem to give a rat's ass about it. They're pretending that they're worried about your freedoms are being taken away. But when the freedom to, protest, to speak up, freedom of speech, when people are getting shot in the head with tear gas canisters, tear gassed, pepper sprayed, a four-year-old baby girl was pepper sprayed in this incident at Santa Monica College inside the hallways. Well, we're going to be getting some information on that. But first, we had some big news breaking last night. I think Brad Blog was the first to have it, thanks to my next guest who tipped me off. Do you remember Kathy Nicholas, the woman who suddenly discovered 14,000 votes that she had not reported on election night exactly 1 year ago yesterday? I have since come to learn 1 year ago yesterday in Wisconsin in that Supreme Court election that took place up there. Very contentious race. It would have tipped the balance of the Supreme Court that was looking at the Scott Walker anti-union bill up there. It looked like the challenger, Joanne Kloppenburg, had won on election night by 204 votes. And then the next day, or was it 2 days later, Kathy Nicholas of Waukesha County, Wisconsin, comes out and says, oh, there was 14,000 votes that I forgot to mention from the city of Brookfield. And you know that election that Joanne Kloppenburg won by 204? Turns out she lost it by 7,000 votes instead. A hand count ensued across the entire state. And in Kathy Nicholas's Waukesha County, the most Republican-leaning county in the state of Wisconsin, ballot bags were showing up, torn open, ripped open, hundreds if not thousands of ballots exposed. You could reach your hand in, pull them out, switch them around. Serial numbers, security serial numbers were missing, were changed. Security seals were gone. That was Kathy Nicholas. And that wasn't the first time, by the way, that we'd reported on her at bradblog.com. We had reported on her about a year or so earlier when her own county executives came down on her and said, you got to improve. They did an audit of her office. They said, you got to improve the security situation in your office, Kathy Nicholas. You've got you keep all of the results on your personal computer in your office. It was just a mess. Anyway, so that was real bad. She came to national infamy, and we happened to be on the air 1 year ago yesterday with John Washburn an election integrity advocate from Wisconsin when all of this was breaking, and he explained it to us because he knows Kathy Nicholas. He actually sat in for her at a county executive meeting at one point. He explained the mess that was going on out there. Well, here we go, a year later, yesterday, and Kathy Nicholas says finally she's going to step aside for the upcoming recall elections in Wisconsin, these contentious, historic elections, where Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker, is his job is on the line. Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish, her job is on the line. Four senators, Republican senators in the state Senate, their jobs are on the line, and the balance of the Wisconsin Senate hangs in the balance. So the Democrats could take that back, and those elections begin next month in May, and the general recall election will be June 5th. Kathy Nicholas was set to oversee it. She was set to oversee it with the same type of Sequoia voting systems that we just talked about in the last hour that reported the wrong winners down in Palm Beach County, Florida. But she had such a mess this past Tuesday during the presidential primary, when she had changed her procedures, but they apparently didn't work because she was not able to post results to the county website until beginning at 2 a.m. and the last results were not up until 6 a.m. Poor Kathy Nicholas. County executives have since forced her now to step aside for these next two elections, and we're going to talk about all of this and more with my next guest here, John. Where do I have my papers here? John Washburn. He's an election integrity advocate with Fair Elections of Wisconsin and Wisconsin Citizens for Election Protection. He's an award-winning open records advocate. And he happens to be a Ron Paul Republican, but we like him anyway. He's going to tell us what the hell's going on. Hey, John Washburn, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, I hope this is not the start of an annual tradition.
I know. Every year we're going to have John Washburn on to explain to us how Kathy Nicholas has screwed something up in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I hope that is not the case.
All right. Do I have it right? She was essentially pushed out here, given a few options by the Republican county executives in Waukesha County, correct?
Yeah, yes. The county supervisor, a gentleman named Vrakis.
Dan Vrakis.
Dan Vrakis, yes. Basically said, here's the choices. Step aside, or I will use my bully pulpit to call for your resignation, essentially ceaselessly. Since she's in elected office and he's in elected office, that's about all he can do.
Right.
You really can't remove her. It'd be like saying, I just want to remove the governor, having the Secretary of State saying, Governor, you're out of here. No,
yeah.
Sorry.
You're right. You can't do it. And a lot of people say, why is he? Yeah, go ahead.
You can still use your bully pulpit to say, I think she should be gone.
Exactly. Well, and a lot of people have been saying, why hasn't she been fired already? Well, she can't. She's an elected official. Now, she is coming up for election later this year. She is apparently going to be overseeing her own election down there, because that's the way it works in Wisconsin. But she won't be in charge of the recall elections, the May 5th primary recall primaries. I'm sorry, the May 8th recall primaries in Wisconsin, and then the recall general election June 5th. She won't be running the ship in Waukesha, the most Republican county in Wisconsin. However, with her stepping aside now, it's going to be her deputy clerk.
Deputy and some unnamed consultants.
An unnamed consultant. Well, let's first.
Unnamed consultants. They're not named at this time.
Okay.
But
well, let's start.
That's part of the press release.
Let's start with this deputy. This deputy is named Kelly Yeager. Who hired Kelly Yeager and who taught her how to be a county clerk?
I believe the answer is Kathy Nicholas. She's been her deputy for a while.
So this is the woman that Kathy Nicholas hired. She's trained. She's going to be running the Waukesha elections. Okay, John, should anybody have confidence in the results that are reported by Kelly Yeager and by the Sequoia optical scan computers, the same ones that failed down in Palm Beach? Should anybody have confidence with the results that come out of Wisconsin in May and June during these recalls?
I think the answer is that they epitomize the definition of faith, which is the substance of things hoped for. I hope the vox machina is the vox populi and evidence of things not seen, which are the ballots. I mean, what Dominion admitted to in Palm Beach in their public, their product advisory notice is that if you go into the WinEDS database, and I will quote for it, when the WinEDS database is edited, the contest order on the ballots in the database can become out of sync with the contest order shown on the corresponding paper ballots.
Mm-hmm. And that's WinEDS, that's the central tabulator, that's the brains of this entire Sequoia election system. Sequoia's been bought by Dominion, that's why you refer to Dominion, but WinEDS is the central tabulator, the main software. It creates the ballot definitions, it's where all of the results are collected, and Dominion is saying, that software gets out of sync with the actual ballots?
Yes. Once I define the paper ballots and I send them out to the printer and say they're going to be this contest order, if I go into WinEDS and apparently edit it for any reason, I give a couple examples like adding title blocks to the races, but apparently it's any edit. There is the possibility that the electronic representation of the ballot within WinEDS will become out of sync with what's actually on the paper.
And the result is what? We named the wrong winners like we did in Palm Beach?
The result is that the vote total for ballot line A appear on the printed reports that the Optech Eagle or Insight scanners print out at the end of the day on ballot line B. That could be within the same race or across race.
And so the only way you would know this is to what? Count the paper ballots by hand to make sure?
Correct.
Okay.
I suppose a spot check might possibly catch it if you're lucky, and that's what happened in Palm Beach.
If you're lucky. All right. Well, we're going to find out if Wisconsin, never mind Waukesha, but if Wisconsin at all does these post-election spot checks, or if we're going to have to just trust whatever it is that the computers tell us in these recall elections. I'm speaking with John Washburn from Wisconsin. I'm Brad Friedman. Stay with us. We are on the Watchtower here on your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in from Mike. He'll be back Monday. Never fear, your long national nightmare will not be that long. It's just me for a couple more hours. He'll be back next week. Never fear. Coming up in the next hour, Gabriel Ray Goodlatte is going to be joining us. Margo Pius is going to be joining us. We're going to be taking your calls at 877-520-1150. We have more show tonight than we can possibly carry out. So we will be invoking the secret Mike Malloy fourth hour. Those of you who know where to find it, we'll see you there. Okay, so, yes, okay. We are speaking with John Washburn of Fair Elections of Wisconsin about this mess, the latest mess in Wisconsin with Kathy Nicholas now stepping aside. And I should add, John Washburn is a Republican. Okay, he's a libertarian-ish Republican, but a Republican nonetheless.
Ron Paul
only, not libertarian, just a Ron Paul guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
I take it back. I have run as a libertarian back in '88 before Congress.
Okay. There you go. Well, we'll talk.
I had the none of the above vote locked up at 1.1%.
Is that right? All right. Well, we will talk about that on another day because we have just a couple of more minutes here, John. Yeah. And as someone who has worked with or sat in for Kathy Nicholas at a county executive meeting, you suggest before we went to the break that you do not have confidence in the results of the elections from her office or any of the other offices around the state, I guess, if they're using flawed systems, these optical scan systems, unless there's a post-election audit. Does Wisconsin do any post-election audits? Do they bother to count a single paper ballot that has been counted by the op scanners before announcing the results?
In a single ward for a single race for each distinct machine type once every 4 years.
Once every 4 years, they'll check out. So that's only for the presidential election, correct?
Correct. and it's done usually in the January, February timeframe of the year following. So they will do an audit of the November 2012 election sometime in January and February of 2013. And it will be only one ward, one race, one or two races. There's actually two possible races. And then it's for each possible machine type. So if you've got an Optech Edge combination, we'll put all those in one bucket, pull one. So poor city of Peshtigo, since they're the only one who has the AVC advantage, they always audit because they're the only one.
Well, I see, because they do one of each machine type. But so there's no real audit there. John, what can, in the minute or so we have left here, because I don't know if I'm going to be back on the Molloy Show here prior to these recall elections happening. What can people in Wisconsin do to try to oversee their elections, to try to have some kind of confidence in whatever the results may be, whoever it is they may be supporting?
Well, there are a couple things that I think any citizen can do that would be helpful.
Go.
One is show up for the closing of the ballots, the closing of the elections at 8 o'clock. You know, they'll say, here, your polling is now closed. At that point, an open meeting has started. Turn on your camera.
Do they really say, hear you?
Some do, some don't. It's a bit of style there.
But all right. I like that.
They say, you know, or they'll put a person at the end of the line and say, polls are closed. Okay. Anyone who comes in after me is, I'm sorry, doors are closed.
All right. So go at the polls closed. Be there when the polls close. It becomes an open meeting with a camera, with a cell phone camera. Yeah, go.
The best digital camera you can get.
Okay.
And it's an open meeting because what has now convened is the local board of canvassers.
I got 20 seconds. Okay. What can they do at that meeting? Go.
Record what you see. If you see anything weird, insist that it be put on the inspector's report, because if it ain't on the official election report, it didn't happen. That's the legal status of the event.
So
those are the two things you can do.
Take photos like crazy. I would also add working as a poll worker will help, and being there throughout the day. We're going to talk more about it, no doubt, in the future. John Washburn of Fair Elections Wisconsin, fairelectionswi.com. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right, Brad in for Mike. Stay with us. Tony always plays music like that at this point of the show to sort of calm me down a little bit. Sometimes I need it. Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com sitting in for Mike Molloy tonight. Delighted to be here. Delighted you could join us. And by the way, stop by. We've got a chat room going on at bradblog.com. We would love to see you over there. I haven't been mentioning it much tonight, so it's quieter than usual, which means there are plenty of seats. Come on by. We'd love to see you. You can tweet me on the Brad blog. That's who I am over there, where I've also put up a photo of myself here in Stephanie's in front of her new Talking Liberally current TV show backdrop. We're using her studio. Don't tell her we were here. Okay, a lot of you folks out there, I'm sure, have been following this. I was going to say horrible folks, but we'll find out how horrible they are. The American Legislative Exchange Council, this corporate lobbying group who is working with legislators all around the country to put forward these horrible disenfranchising polling place photo ID restriction bills, these stand your ground right to kill bills all over the country. Basically, they put together model templates for legislation, and they were founded by a guy named Paul Weyrich. Oh, I should have had the audio standing by. If you can find it over there, Tony, do. But Paul Weyrich, we've got audio of him. You happen to have it there? No? Okay. Back in 1980, saying that he doesn't want everyone to vote. When everyone votes, their chances of winning on the right go down. So he's not talking about winning because they have better policies, because, you know, Republicans have the right direction for the future. No, he was talking about keeping the voting populace from turning out. And that's exactly what these photo ID restriction bills do. Finally, there is some pushback against some of the folks who are pushing these horrible disenfranchising bills that rob your right to vote. That Alec has been pushing out there. The folks at Color of Change, colorofchange.org, have their campaign underway right now, and it's so far it's, it seems to be the pressure is doing pretty well. As of today, the fourth major corporate sponsor has dropped their support of Alec. That would be Intuit, who makes Quicken and TurboTax and so forth. They joined Coca-Cola and Pepsi and, who was it, Kraft Foods earlier this week, who dropped their support for Alec. Hopefully there'll be more to come. We'll find out with my next guest, Gabriel Ray Goodlatte. He is the Director of Strategy of ColorOfChange.org and for their anti-Alec campaign, which seems to be doing pretty well so far. Gabriel, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad. Good to be with you.
Great to have you here. I appreciate you coming in on a Friday night, on a good Friday night. But this is great news now, isn't it? These corporate sponsors that are dropping their support of the American Legislative Exchange Council?
It is. It's very exciting, and it's a really good first step. And now, you know, we are calling on all remaining corporations that are continuing to fund and support Alec to follow suit. And we're going to be pushing hard to make sure that they do.
And there are a lot of them. There are tons of them. Just to give you some idea of sort of the top level support here, BP, of course, Reynolds American, Allergan, Altria, AT&T, Bayer, Chevron, ExxonMobil, Lumina Foundation, Peabody Pharma, State Farm, Visa, Walmart, the list goes on and on. You can check it out, of course, over at Color for Change. And Think Progress has been doing a great job of covering what's going on at Alec as well. let me ask you a tough question, Gabriel. What is wrong with Alec? Anything?
Well, the problem with Alec is that there's a lot of problems with Alec. I mean, you can start with what they've been involved in pushing, the laws they've been involved in pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Voter ID laws have the effect of making it harder to vote, raising barriers to voting, and they disproportionately affect African Americans, Latinos, the poor, the disabled, the elderly, most people who have any kind of disadvantage in our society already.
Right, but they have...
are going to be...
Yeah, go ahead.
And so Alec has been instrumental in spreading these laws to... many states across the country. They were also behind the spread of the Stand Your Ground law, or I've been referring to it as the Shoot First law,
right,
that has prevented justice for Trayvon Martin in Florida. They worked with the NRA to spread that law all over the place. And they're doing it behind the scenes. They're doing it outside the public view.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it with support of some of the largest corporations that are everyday household names that everyone supports. Well, not everyone, but many people support with their consumer dollars. And so our message to these corporations is that they can't be taking black folks' money by day and building their businesses off of it and taking their vote at night.
Well, now, there isn't, and the reason I ask you that question that way, we're speaking with Gabriel Ray Goodlatte of ColorOfChange.org. The reason I ask the question that way is because what Alec is doing here, as far as I know, it's not really illegal, right? They have the right to, they're essentially funneling corporate money into this big organization that then works with these legislators, that then these legislators go out and introduce all of these insidious and insipid bills that take away rights from Americans. But none of it is illegal. This is what we have allowed to become of our electoral system and our political system. Is it not?
It's true. You know, it's not illegal, but I would say that it's something that I think a lot of the corporations that are supporting Alec may not actually know the full range of what they've been supporting. A lot of corporations got involved because they wanted to push some business, you know, pro-business legislation that maybe affects their particular industry. And so a big part of what we've been trying to do is educate corporations about all the policies that ALEC is involved in that their consumers would not be comfortable supporting. And so, while ALEC isn't doing anything illegal, I think they're doing something that wouldn't be sustainable when the public's attention is drawn to it.
And you make a good point that a lot of these companies, and I think there were some of the statements from Pepsi and Intuit, who said basically they had a specific reason for joining ALEC, and these other, you know, and that specific reason did not have to do with disenfranchising voters. So I'm glad that are you guys actually going through, as Color of Change, actually going through to all of these corporations, some that I didn't name previously, Dow, ConocoPhillips, Time Warner, WellPoint, Amazon.com is on here, HP, Kraft Foods. Are you guys actually going to each of these corporations and asking them to withdraw, or is there a campaign, a letter-writing campaign, or both?
It's kind of both. So in November is actually when the campaign began, and that's when we asked our members to sign a petition to all companies that support ALEC, asking them to leave because of their involvement in voter suppression. And then since then, we've been contacting as many companies as we can privately to kind of have a conversation with them, convey our members' concerns to them, and make sure they actually understand what they're supporting, and that we give them a reasonable chance to act and do the right thing before we target them publicly. And then, as you've seen this week, we've started to reach the point where we have started to target some corporations publicly. We targeted Coca-Cola earlier this week and had our members start making phone calls to Coca-Cola, because our conversation with Coca-Cola had reached a point where it didn't seem like they were interested in acting. And, you know, it turns out they were, and we're glad that they did. And news also broke this week then that Pepsi and Kraft had pulled out, and those were both companies that we had been talking with as well. And so moving forward, we're going to be continuing to push on all companies that support ALEC to leave.
Well, obviously, it probably goes without saying, Koch Industries is a huge supporter of the American Legislative Exchange Council, Union Pacific, Walgreens, Norfolk Southern, Merck, Lilly, Kraft Foods, no longer. Way to go, Kraft Foods. Way to go, Pepsi. Way to go, Coke. And way to go, Intuit. But there's a lot of people who are still on this list, a lot of companies who need to be, who folks need to let them know they're not happy with their involvement in this this group, who may or may not be breaking any laws, but they're, you know, pushing for to rob people's voting rights. And I'm just appalled by that. Now, that said, I'm looking, and I know Ernie Canning at bradblog.com has been looking at a complaint that's been filed in the state of Wisconsin, back to Wisconsin, against 43 Republican legislators. You can go read it over there, that talks about the fact that ALEC is giving away these scholarships, inviting legislators to come out on these trips around the country, and that they're not being reported appropriately, and they may be violating the law. I'd urge you to go check out that report at Bradblog, because that may be happening in other states as well. Gabriel Ray Goodlatte, where can folks specifically participate, join in, and what can they do to help here for your ALEC campaign?
If you go to colorofchange.org/sign/ALEC, or if you just go to colorofchange.org, there should be a link on the front page. You can sign our petition to corporations, calling on them to pull out of ALEC, and then we will keep you up to date on ways that you can hold accountable corporations that have refused to do so. And we're going to be announcing new targets in our campaign next week.
So you're specifically targeting corporations one at a time. I just rattled off a whole bunch of them. I'm going at it targeting all of them, by the way. I don't think anybody should be involved with this group. What they do is really just invidious and undermines the very core of this country, the very American values that we have, or at least pretend to have, in this country. Gabriel Ray Goodlatte, check out that campaign at colorofchange.org/sign/ Alec, A-L-E-C. Do I have it right?
That's right, and that's sign as in S-I-G-N.
S-I-G-N, to sign the petition. Gabriel, thanks a bunch. Really appreciate your time. Keep up the good work, my friend, and let me know how I can help.
Okay, thanks a lot, Brad.
All right. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Much more straight ahead. Do stay with us.
Tell me why. What is every single little tiny little thing I hold on?
Cannon through the bathroom window. That's divine super school. But now she's talking.
Welcome back. It's your Mike Malloy Show. Brad of bradblog.com in for Mike. Your call's coming up next hour. Get in line now. Don't wait. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Whatever you want to talk about. I've been talking a lot about elections tonight because, oh, you know, it's election season. But 877-520-1150 if you want to talk about that or anything else. Get in line right now. Don't wait. Okay. We got just a few minutes here, but Margot Paez, our super-duper associate producer and KPF contributor to the KPFK Evening News out here in Los Angeles, the Pacifica radio affiliate, she has been spending some time down in Santa Monica where we had this. Oh, hi. Hi. You can say hi.
Hi, I'm here.
You're here. She's here with us. She's been spending time down at Santa Monica College where we had this horrible pepper spray incident.
Yes.
It was really bad. You did a report for the KPFK Evening News. We're going to play that report and then come back to talk to you with the latest updates you've had since this report was filed.
A Santa Monica College Police Department officer pepper sprayed a crowd of at least 100 students inside the business building of Santa Monica College, where the college's Board of Trustees was holding a monthly meeting to discuss a new two-tier tuition program. At least 30 students were hit with the pepper spray, including a 4-year-old child, and 2 were taken to hospital to be treated for respiratory-related side effects. Mariel Gomez, a student at the college, describes the incident.
I fell to the floor. I would have never imagined I was going to get pepper spray, first of all. And so when I got pepper spray, I was trying to catch my breath, and I couldn't. There was so much pepper spray that you could even see it. I got into my eye, and I fell to the floor because I couldn't see anymore. One of the actual students came back for me and put me into the bathroom to wash it off. So it was the worst sensation.
The school says students were not allowed into the public meeting because of overcrowding issues. Despite handing out tickets that would have allowed 10 students into the room, police still refused to let anyone in. Frustrated, the students began to physically force their way in. The 3 officers told students to get back, but they continued to push. According to students, no warning was given that they were about to be hit with the spray. The Santa Monica Police Department was unavailable for comment, but in a written statement, college president Chu Sang describes the students' acts as unlawful. According to John Sullivan, a retired deputy chief who now works as an expert witness on police management practices, the deployment of a pepper spray canister is considered enough of a warning.
Actual procedure or mandate that they have to give a warning. Usually when the officers pull the pepper spray out of their holster and they have it in their hand, that should be adequate warning to a reasonable person.
The proposed two-tier system is said to be the first of its kind. Santa Monica College administrators say that the system is the best option to combat the sharp decrease in state funding to the state's community colleges. State funding has dropped over $800 million in the last 3 years. The two-tier system would offer certain courses at a higher price, around 4 times the current cost per unit. Trustee David Finkel says the students refuse to understand the situation. Jasmine Delgado, vice president of the college's associated students, disagrees, saying that students were not included in developing a solution.
I mean, we weren't even involved in the shared governance process to, you know, even kind of formulate the policies for this, and we found out pretty last minute that this was going to be put in place.
The use of pepper spray in wartime is banned under the Geneva Convention, and in 1995, the ACLU noted in a report that an Army study concluded that pepper spray's active ingredient is capable of producing carcinogenic effects, sensitization, cardiovascular toxicity, as well as possible human fatalities. San Maria Gomez, a student organizer from the Santa Monica Student Organizing Committee, says that while the pepper spray caught the demonstrators off guard, it was not surprising. She says that police harassment has been happening ever since they began organizing students against the fee hikes.
Intimidating us. The first time we met up in a circle, it was 50 students of us just sitting in the yard, quietly just sitting up in a circle, and they were in their motorcycles circling around us, trying to intimidate us. Whenever I just post out flyers trying to outreach my peers, they're literally going after, behind me, because it's a matter of seconds, not a matter of hours. In a matter of seconds, they're ripping down the flyers that we post.
The Board of Trustees says that it plans to pay the hospital bills of students who were injured during the incident. Students say that they will not be deterred in their protest of the two-tier fee system and will continue to make their voices heard until the system is dropped. In Los Angeles, I'm Margo Paez, Pacifica Radio, KPFK.
Well done, Margo. Good report. So showing pepper spray, just showing the can, that's a warning. That's enough.
That is apparently enough, according to this former police chief from Nevada.
According to the police chief from Nevada. This post 9/11 ramped up on steroids, militarized police force that we have. These guys aren't even police. They're campus security.
No,
this is crazy.
Actually, the correction is that they are, in fact, police
officers.
They are sworn in as peacekeepers, and they do carry weapons. They have a firearm on them.
Yeah. Well, I still do not approve. Now, you said we're short on time. You got a quick update.
So, the president of the Board of Trustees, Chu Sang, has decided that they are not going to implement this, even though they voted to approve it last month.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to allow the community of the school to finally have a discussion.
Oh, how thoughtful.
Yes, and what I found out is that in 2008, the Board of Trustees authorized to provide $2.5 million to the city of Malibu for construction of a wastewater facility, and they are planning to build a $25 million campus in Malibu.
So they're paying a lot of money for stuff, and then they're charging the students, raising their tuition 400%.
Yes.
And not let and spraying them with pepper spray if they have a thought about it.
Right.
I gotta get to a break. Margo Paez of the
Thank
KPFK
you.
Evening News. Well done, Brad. In for Mike. Your calls straight ahead.